Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Back for another week, another exciting week of Health Talk Radio. I am Donald Snowden. And another long week, another good week. Just really trying to galvanize this movement. We got a detox team that's going on right now, and they are doing super well. They started January the 5th, so they're going to be going up until about February the 5th, and then we have a new detox group starting on February the 2nd. And, I mean, this liver detox has been amazing for a lot of people. Weight being lost, 10 to 25 pounds in a month being lost, people feeling healthy, they're feeling better. Some have been able to reduce their level of medication or come off medication over the periods of time throughout the detox. And so that's just super exciting to see the transformations that are happening and people really, really harnessing their health and really trying to feel good and look good and get 2018 started off on the right foot. You know, we all have different types of things that we want to accomplish, but of course, it all starts with your health. And if you don't have your health, then it's hard to live your passion. So just super excited about that. And like I said, February the 2nd, we're getting ready to kick off another one. We have another group going. We have a wonderful platform just for everybody to stay in touch. We have a big GroupMe text thing that we do. App, and everybody can get in there and they chime in and they talk about how they feel and what's going on, and people just love it. And so if you know anybody or you've done it and you want to do it again or you've been thinking about it, just, you know, chime in, hit me up, and we'll get you in line, get your pack ordered and get it going. You never know how good you can feel until you start to really work on feeling good. Another thing this week was the magazine. The magazine is Health Talk Magazine. We've done, I think, this is about our eighth issue. We come out around, you know, probably every quarter or a little more, focus more on content than just dropping a magazine. And every time we drop a magazine, I feel like it's our best work. And this one is really no different. The stories in this magazine, I think, are so compelling. And just to watch how people have transformed their lives and how we all go through stuff, ups and downs and ins and outs. But you just got to hang in there. And someday you get out on the other side of it, you start to feel good, and you really see that your journey is not a straight road. It's not a straight line. And there's going to be a lot of ups and downs as part of your journey. But you have to look at it as part of your journey. You can't look at it as somebody taking something away from me or somebody doing something to me. It's actually part of the journey. And so this Health Talk magazine that's coming soon, you may see the cover floating around on Facebook. It's on my page. So we got the cover up, and the young lady on the cover is just super, super amazing. And her story is just amazing to see how people can just, it seems like, there is no end in sight when you start to fall, and to see when somebody's climbing up and to see their trajectory back up, and that's amazing. And then we got another young lady in there who's telling her story, and she's like the detox queen. You know, she went from, you know, a mother of three that just, like most mothers, they have their baby fat and all of that stuff, and they not as healthy as they were, and they have those children, and like their body's gone, but she just took this detox and harnessed it, and she's helped her family and her friends, and just really, really has a wonderful story behind it, and just was kind of the kid that grew up, was just kind of chubby, and now, you know, to see her and to see her transformation, I mean, that's amazing. That's what really life is about, man. It's transforming into the yourself, finding yourself. We get so far away from ourselves, and, you know, we don't ever really get back, because either we don't have the support, we don't think we can make it, we don't think we're good enough. But you got to get back to who you are. You got to get back to the fabric of who you are as a child. If you don't think of who you are, what you want to be, think about it from the context of when you were a child. And how you dreamed and how you had dreams about what you wanted to do, and just figure out how to harness some of that just to give you peace of mind and just try to follow what it is you want. And you can't please everybody, and things are not going to always be easy, and family and friends and relationships, I mean, it's all just hard. And you have to pick your heart, but you have to, at the end of the day, hope that you're making the right decisions and you're doing the right thing for your own good. And that's really what it boils down to. And that's where I kind of get to tonight when we're talking about diseases and different things that disproportionately affect our community, the Black community. And we've relied on the medical system so heavily over the years. You know, we see our grandparents, multiple prescriptions, parents on multiple prescriptions, even, you know, people now in their 30s and 40s taking multiple prescriptions and got high blood pressure, and somebody told you that that was hereditary, and you got high cholesterol, and somebody told you that was hereditary, and that you're going to get type 2 diabetes, and somebody told you that was hereditary. And so, you know, we get to a point where we just stop trying. We stop thinking about, man, how can I do something different? Because it's hereditary. I'm going to get it. And that word is just something that the system has used to lock us in and to just turn the thoughts off in our mind about us doing anything different. You don't have to have high blood pressure. Just because your mother had it, your grandmother had it, your great-grandmother had it, you don't have to have it. No disease you have to have. DNA, RNA doesn't transfer diseases. It transfers eye color, hair color, skin pigment, your height, you know, sometimes your different features, your facial features you may have, limbs, but diseases don't translate through your DNA. They don't transfer through your DNA. You think you can have the same habits as those that come before you and get the same things, meaning that you fry chicken just as good as your grandmother did. Put your grease on the stove and reuse it and keep going about it, frying fish. And those particular things that we eat that are not conducive for our health are the things that tend to give us the illnesses and issues that we have, especially the ones that we see in the Black community, I mean, including cancer. I mean, I just look at growing up in Maryland and how small Annapolis is and how many people, including my own mother, who have perished from cancer. And really, you know, we die from cancer based on a lack of knowledge. We die from most diseases based on a lack of knowledge. Or even if we have the knowledge, sometimes it's just a lack of doing things differently. We just get stuck in our ways. Like, I have to have my Pepsi, or I have to have my chicken, and I'm just going to deal with it. Or we resign ourselves to say, well, I got to die of something, so, you know, why not be that? But if you want to be healthy, and not everybody does, and, you know, they say they do, but their actions are different. And their actions are different for different reasons. You know, food is a drug. And so you get addicted to food. You get addicted to certain sugars. You get addicted to certain nicotines or certain soft drinks. And caffeine, I mean, that's like a drug. So your body physically needs it. Like, you will go through withdrawals and all of that stuff. And granted, you can overcome it, but sometimes it's just easier to feed the issue. And that's what we do a lot of times. And sometimes we just say, you know, I know I'm not supposed to have this chicken, but I've been good all week. I'm going to go ahead and have it. And you just had it last week. And you just had it the week before. And so we feel like sometimes we need to give ourselves breaks or treat ourselves. And we just treated ourselves. And the crazy part about it is we say, oh, man, I want something good. But every time just about we say we want something good, it's something bad. And that's just how we tricked our minds to think that we gotta equate bad with good so our bodies and our minds will accept it. And so my goal today is just to really talk about, and I would love to have you guys chime in any way possible, whether you're chiming in on the call on the radio side, or you're chiming in on, or you're sending a comment on the Facebook side. But I really want to find out just what do you think are some of the issues disease-wise that we suffer from in the Black community. And I'm going to hit a couple that I have in my topic. But if you have some that you think about that you want me to talk about or want to cover, I'll definitely do that. And if I don't get a chance to do it on this show, I definitely set it up for another show, because this show is really about us. It's about creating a different level of dialogue than we talk about every day. You're not going to see this on the TV. You're not going to see it on 6 o'clock news. It's not going to be on YouTube. It's not going to be somebody talking about it on the radio. You know, we need to have this type of dialogue and these type of forums to really just educate. You know, and it's in the privacy of your own home. You just get on Facebook Live and it's there. You don't have to go to a place. And so just trying to, the level of convenience that I'm trying to bring to you is really here to serve you. And that's what I'm here for. And some of the things that that I'm going to hit on today are just things that we don't probably have a lot of information on, or we just get it from the medical system. Think, oh, well, we can get over it. We can live through it. Or we just have to take this medication for the rest of our life and we'll be fine. And one of those things is cholesterol. So many people are on either have high cholesterol or taking cholesterol medication, which are considered statin drugs. And there have been so many studies out and so many things out that talk about how ineffective, I said ineffective, statin drugs are and lowering, and how lowering cholesterol can make you have just as many health issues if you did compared to extremely high cholesterol. And nobody's ever really explained to us what cholesterol is. Most of the time we hear about cholesterol, we hear about it based on a number or some letters. LDL, which is low-density lipoprotein, and HDL, which is high-density lipoprotein, is normally, and then your VDL, those are normally how you hear cholesterol being referred to. And then there's numbers associated with that. And based on those numbers, it's telling you whether you have high cholesterol or low cholesterol. And then based on which group of letters hold that number, high density lipoprotein or HDL has a particular number, LDL has a particular number. And so how they look at cholesterol is the cholesterol that's going into your liver or going through the liver to be processed is good cholesterol. And the cholesterol that's leaving your liver is considered bad cholesterol based on the system. So your good cholesterol level should be higher than your bad cholesterol level, which means you have more cholesterol that's being produced and made than being used. And that's normally where it stops. And they'll just say you need to lower your cholesterol. Well, here's the issue. Your body makes 80% of the cholesterol you need. The rest of it has to be eaten or ingested through your diet. So you eat eggs, which they say are bad but are very good for you. You eat butter, which is very good for you. Not butter with oil in it, just regular butter. Butter has three ingredients: milk, sweet cream, and if it's salted butter, there's salt. If there's unsalted, if there's no salt, then it's the other two ingredients, just sweet cream and milk. So butter is very good to help maintain cholesterol. That's why if you think back in the day, our grandparents, great-grandparents, depending on how old you are, they ate butter. They ate lard for good for you. But then the system comes along and says, well, let's try Crisco. Crisco used to be used as diesel fuel, as a diesel lubricant back during the wartime. And that diesel lubricant was used, and when the war was over, they had all of this lubricant that it didn't have anything to do with. And if you look up the name Ansel Keys and you look up Crisco or the history of Crisco, you'll find it out. And they couldn't sell it. They couldn't – nobody could buy it. They decided to make soap out of it. That didn't work. And then they got they created a relationship with the American Heart Association, and they poured all this money into the American Heart Association for them to market this as the new best thing and to leave butter and lard and those things alone. So that's supposed to have become the healthier option, which it was not. It was not at all. And now, as you see, people are reverting back to eating their eggs and butter and those things. And I'll talk about those things. But your body, again, makes 80% of the cholesterol it needs if it's functioning properly. And then the other percentage, 20%, you get through your diet. Okay? Cholesterol does two things, and they're very important. Cholesterol makes hormones, so progesterone or progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen are 100% by weight cholesterol. So if you're on a cholesterol-restrictive diet or you're taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, you're having issues with those three hormones. And you know that there's an issue because the proof is in the pudding. Every time you turn on the TV, you see something for women, hormone replacement therapy. Women going through menopause like crazy. They have bad menstrual cycles. They prolong menstrual cycles. They going through menopause early. They're going through long stages of menopause. Men, erectile dysfunction. Every time you turn around, you got a commercial for low T and ED and all of those particular things. Those are hormones, which are 100% by weight cholesterol. So we're, especially the baby boomers, listening to their physicians and getting their cholesterol as low as they can, and now they have these issues. The myelin of your brain, the white matter of your brain. If you've ever seen a brain, it's white and then it has these little gray veins running through it, or which are actually nerves. But the white part of the brain is called myelin. And that myelin is the insulation of the for the nerves. So like if you ever seen a piece of wire or an extension cord, you see the plastic part of that cord, but if you ever peel that plastic back or that rubber back, there's wiring in there. And that wiring is the insulation is there to protect the wiring. So why? You don't get shot. So you don't have short circuits. Well, when you talk about Alzheimer's and dementia, and you start to look at, there's four different types of dementia, but when you start to look at Alzheimer's and the particular dementias that have to do with the brain and the nerves in the brain, you look at the myelin. And the white matter of the brain is worn down. That insulation is worn down because that's 70% by weight cholesterol. So if we're on a cholesterol-restrictive diet and we're taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, that white matter of our brain is just deteriorating. And as that deteriorates, then those little naked nerve fibers touch and they start to short out. Let's see if I have a – I think I have a – I thought I had a picture of a brain. It's really hard to kind of tell in this picture, but the brain and this white matter, I got to get this working backwards. This white matter in here is called myelin, and that myelin is what insulates those nerves. And so when you don't have that myelin, and as strong as it should be, those nerves, like I say, start to touch. And when they touch, that's what causes the short circuit. That's what causes the memory loss. And then they go and tell us that, oh, we don't know what Alzheimer's comes from. Well, it's not a drug that's going to fix it. It's not a miracle pill that's going to fix it. It's a change in habit that's going to fix it. It's a change in diet that's going to fix it. It's feeding your body the right things so that it can heal itself. The body wants to heal itself. The body wants to keep itself healthy. But we've gotten into a state where we don't pay attention to what it is that the body needs, because the people who are supposed to have our best interest at heart don't give us the right information, whether they didn't learn it in school, because most physicians will tell you that they got as little as 30 minutes of nutritional training in the 8 years they were in medical school. So therefore they don't know, or they don't care, because why? They have a life to live. And the medical system is set up in such a way where there's no law for them to cure you, even if there's a cure available. So when we talk about Alzheimer's, which is crazy because we have walks and runs and races for it and all of these different things, but the nuts and bolts of what we need to do have been there for ages. And you look at the people who, how long the longevity of the people who lived before us. Grandma, 100 years old. I mean, my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother died at 107, and her mother died at 101. I mean, my great-grandmother died at 101. I think my grandfather died at like 93. There's longevity. My daddy's 77. He doesn't take a prescription drug. They do all the old-school stuff. That's kind of the way I grew up. So it's just important to understand, and these are the things that we're not educated about. The other thing with cholesterol is cholesterol makes cells. So cholesterol makes hormones, which is number one, and number two, cholesterol makes cells. And we all know what cells are. And what happens is we have damaged cells from most likely free radicals. And free radicals are when we ingest oil. Oil in a bottle is the worst thing for you. The people say, well, cholesterol clogs your arteries. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what the cholesterol is actually doing and what's happening in the body for them to come up with that assumption. So when you have oil in a bottle, and I'm going to use oil because everybody can pretty much identify with that. They say, oh, can I have olive oil? Can I have coconut oil? Can I use canola oil, peanut oil? People ask about all kinds of oils. First of all, some of your good oils come in glass bottles. Why do some oils come in glass bottles and some oils come in plastic bottles? Plastic bottles, most of the plastic bottles you get aren't BPA-free. If you want a good plastic bottle, even if you're drinking out of a plastic bottle, which is why drinking bottled water can be bad, because the BPA, which is a toxin that they put in plastic, leaches into the bottle, or it leaches into whatever the product is in the bottle. So if you got a bottle of oil and it's not BPA-free, that BPA, those toxins are leaching into your oil. So one, now you got contaminated oil. Some oils, like your olive oils and your good oils, you pay a little bit more money for, come in a glass bottle. Well, what happens with that? And the same thing with a plastic bottle. When you pour oil out of a bottle and you put the top back on, now there's the oil level, and up to the top there's air. Air is what? Air has moisture in it. Moisture has particles in it. It's water vapor. It's water. And the more oil you pour out of that bottle, the more air you trap in that bottle. And, of course, we know that oil and water don't mix. So the oil that we use becomes oxidized. And when that oil becomes oxidized, it now has free radicals in it. And then we take that oil and we heat it. And depending on what type of oil, we can be introducing trans fats, because oxidized oil can introduce trans fats into the oil. We pour those free radicals on a salad and we eat the salad. And now we just put free radicals into our body. And free radicals are like little piranhas that go attach themselves to good cells or bad cells, depending on the makeup of your body and how healthy you are. But they will go and they will attack those cells. And it's just like a leech sucking the life out of the blood out of you is like a leech sucking that cell to death. And the more damaged cells you have from free radical damage, the more problems you have. Now, cholesterol's job is to say, you know what? Hey, there's a bunch of cells up in that heart area, that big artery by the heart, that are damaged. We need to go up there. And it's like a fire department. If they're dispatched, they go up there, and the first thing they do is they assess the situation, and then they want to cover the area that's being damaged, which would be no different than a firefighter spraying his fire hose over a fire. You hear about inflammation. That's like fire. And then the cholesterol goes and it tries to go there to protect and make new cells in that area, but that area continues to get damaged and continues to get damaged. And the plaque that's then caused is an accumulation of, one, cholesterol going there, but two, a lot of these damaged free radical cells. That's hard, like scar tissue. And that's what happens, and that's why arteries get clogged. It has nothing to do with having high cholesterol. We got to figure out why the cholesterol is doing what it's doing, because cholesterol in and of itself does not cause any disease. Cholesterol is not a disease. Cholesterol is not something that causes a problem. It's like a red warning light in your car. And when you have, like, diabetics have extremely high cholesterol, sometimes up in the 300 range. Why do they have extremely high cholesterol? Because diabetes issue especially we're talking type 2. I want to be clear about that. Type 2 diabetes is an issue where your body does not absorb insulin. It makes the insulin just fine, but it doesn't absorb it. And so therefore, you have these cell receptors that open and close. And as these cell receptors open and close, insulin is introduced in when it's called for. Well, if those cell receptors don't work and they don't open, then you have insulin trying to get in that your body's making, and it can't get in. And then you start to have cells that are starved from insulin, and you start to have symptoms that go along with that, frequent urination and all of those symptoms that go along with pre-diabetes, as they call it. You go to the doctor, and they say, oh, you have type 2 diabetes. The first thing they do is they give you insulin. So now you got your own cholesterol. You got your own insulin trying to get into the cell, and now you got the insulin that they gave you, and you basically just like kicking in a door, and finally you bust through the cell, you damage the cell, and when you damage the cell, now that cell is dead. And the more damaged cells you have, the more damaged cells you have, the more cholesterol you have going to that area to try to heal that area, which is the reason why the bad cholesterol, as they call it, is normally really high in diabetics, because they have so many damaged cells. And that's why if they have enough damaged cells, they get their feet amputated. They have really bad eyesight because the little small arteries in the eyes can't function correctly. And that's the reason why when you look at diabetics and you look at high cholesterol, it's not the cholesterol that's driving, it's the cell damage. But cholesterol wants to make new cells. So that's the reason and the function of cholesterol. The other thing that we have to keep in mind is that the body is making 80% of what it needs. So therefore, the proper diet is extremely important to cholesterol and eating the proper foods. The one other thing that we have to keep in mind is the numbers that they give us about the measure of cholesterol are even somewhat skewed, because LDL, like I said, low-density lipoprotein, and HDL, which is high-density lipoprotein, that is not cholesterol. Those are proteins that are carrying the cholesterol somewhere. And instead of them saying that the cholesterol is going to a particular place, they should tell you the measure of free radical damage you have, and then that would explain why your cholesterol is high, as opposed to just saying it's cholesterol and leaving it at that. And so we go to the doctor and they tell us, oh, you need to lower your cholesterol. You need to eat better. You need to exercise more. You need to do these things to lower your cholesterol. And in some cases, when your cholesterol is 300 or above or so, can you lower it? Of course. But you can do it healthfully. You don't need statin drugs to lower your cholesterol. You just need to get your body back in balance. And a good way to do that is, one, cut out the bad foods, cut out the oils, eat good food, bake food, you know, boil your food, bake it, stay away from fried foods, stay away from things that cause free radical damage. And the body will then start to adjust. And then, of course, because you have so much cholesterol accumulation or processing in the liver, you do a good liver detox. When you talk about the breast cancers that we have, a lot of the women these days that have breast cancer, the breast cancer is, they call it estrogen-induced, where their estrogen or their hormones are way high, and that's because they have a toxic liver, because the precursors of estrogen, which are estradiol and estradiol, are made in the liver. You need hormones. Those are hormones. That's where your cholesterol function is. So you have to have that balance. So your cholesterol could be at 200. You could be a completely healthy person. The Inuit Eskimos, all they eat is whale blubber and seal meat and seal blubber and all of those different meats and blubbers and to stay warm. And they have cholesterol as high as 300 and 400. And they have less heart attacks than we do down here in the 50 states, 49 states. So you look up Eskimos and you look at their diet and you look at how high their cholesterol is, and you come down here and they're like, way healthy compared to us. Way less incidence of heart attacks and heart disease. And they eat the very foods that the medical system tell us don't eat. But they do just the opposite, and they live longer. So cholesterol is extremely important. We have to have it. We need to make sure we're doing it the right way. But we need to understand that it's a red warning light to other issues. Cholesterol is going to a place to take care of issues. There'll either be hormonal issues or there'll be issues having to do with cells. That's the way cholesterol functions. That's why it functions that way. And when your doctor tells you and asks you to lower your cholesterol, you ask him why. And there's, you can go and people look up cholesterol and heart disease. And there's been this big fight going back and forth. And every so many years, they'll say cholesterol is good, like they did last year. They had a big thing on, I think it may have been 2 years ago now, they had a thing on Good Morning America. Dr. Oz did something on his show talking about how we can now we can eat our butter again, we can eat our eggs again, and all of those particular things, because we do need cholesterol. And you'll look up studies, and you can Google it, and you can find out how low cholesterol, people have more heart attacks, just as many heart attacks, if not sicker, with too low of a cholesterol than they have with high cholesterol. So just be educated next time somebody tells you that they got to take a statin drug, or that, you know, your doctor may tell you, hey, you need to take this cholesterol medication, or you need to lower your cholesterol. Challenge him. You pay him, or your insurance pays him, but it's coming from you. Challenge him on it. Why? Tell me what cholesterol does. Why does my body make 80% of the cholesterol it needs? Make them explain it to you. Don't just take it at face value. Question it. And if they get mad and they get upset, it's time to find a new doctor if he's getting defensive. Or they should be able to give you the information you need so you can clearly understand it. But don't just let them tell you, where can you point me in that direction? They got medical journals. You can go on PubMed, PubMed.gov. You can look up studies of cholesterol, and that's one of the places doctors go to look up drugs. You can Google things. I mean, with the technology that we have now, if you ever go have a physical, which I condone, please go get a physical. It's up to you how you treat yourself. You can treat yourself however you want to. You can do it naturally. You can do it through prescription. But go get a physical, because they're going to find out what's wrong with you. Best believe that. Because they got to figure out what surgery or what drug or whatever they can put on you to get that money. So I condone that. Go get your physicals and find out. But if those are things that come up, question them. Ask them why. And now you can, like I said, with the World Wide Web, we can do so much research and learn and go read books and different things before we just make a decision to just resign ourselves to being on this prescription drug for the rest of our life. One of the other things that they have given us as a death sentence, as I see from a genetic or hereditary standpoint, is high blood pressure. High blood pressure, one, does not come from too much salt. So we have people who use salt and people who don't use salt, but they still have high blood pressure. A lot of people who have high blood pressure, you'll find, and I say this for a reason, have joint issues. Maybe a bad back, maybe some knee issues, maybe some facial issues with like their jaws, shoulder issues, fibromyalgia, because as we've been told, high blood pressure comes from too much salt. Well, when you restrict salt, you prevent water from moving around in your body. Salt helps water move around in the body. Salt is what the proton pumps and the chief cells in the stomach need to make stomach acid so you can break your food down. So when you restrict salt, you're restricting the body's ability to be able to move water around, to be able to have good stomach acid, strong stomach acid, as it should be, to be able to digest your food. Because they also have told us that acid reflux and GERD and those particular things come from too much acid, and that's absolutely not true. You do not have enough stomach acid. The acid in your stomach should be about a pH of 1. If you were to be able to take a tube and put down your throat and dip out some of your stomach acid and put it on your skin, it would burn a hole in your skin. Reason why we have to have strong stomach acid is because the foods that you eat, especially your healthy foods, bad foods are bad foods. They're not going to serve you. When I'm speaking about this, I'm speaking of healthy foods. Your body has to be able to break those foods down into their smallest protein, their smallest amino acids. Have to be able to break down the vitamins. So that way, when they go through the small intestines, the little finger-like villi that are in the small intestines can grab those food particles that are completely broken down and suck the nutrition out of them. And when it sucks the nutrition out of them, it goes into your bloodstream. That's how nutrition gets in your body. It doesn't happen through just chewing and swallowing. If you're eating food that is healthy, it happens in the small intestines. It's those villi that pull nutrition down in your body. And that's why people who have digestive disorders, ulcerative colitis, diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, some of your just regular, not having bloating and gas and not being able to have bowel movements and those particular things, or having chronic diarrhea, it's digestive disorders. You don't have enough stomach acid to be able to break your food down. So one of the things that we start with is some digestive enzymes. So as you are detoxing your liver and getting all the toxins out of there, because everything, as we understand, flows through the liver, has to be filtered, which means everything that gets in your bloodstream has to go through your liver. Toxins you put on your skin get into your bloodstream. When you put nail polish on or some toxic shampoo on your hair or anything, you put it on your skin, it's in your bloodstream within 26 seconds, which means it's got to be filtered through the liver and all of that. And your liver becomes toxic. So we have to clean our livers out. We have to clean our liver out. We only have one, my bad. And you also have to make sure that not only are you keeping your liver clean, but you're taking the digestive enzymes. And what those enzymes do is kind of twofold. As your food goes down the hatch into the stomach, it will take the food and further break it down because you don't have the stomach acid to do it. So it breaks that food down to its smallest, like I said, vitamins, amino acids, the smallest of the of food particles as it can, so it can be processed once it gets the small intestines. And then also what those enzymes do is they go out and they seek out fats and different things that don't belong in the gut, and they start to eat away at them. So when the medical system tells us that we have too much stomach acid, that's not the case if they're giving you, and then they give you these different drugs that turn off your body's ability to make stomach acid. And if you ever look at those drugs, Prilosec, Nexium, Protonix, all those particular drugs, they just came out probably early last year, 2017, saying that particular drugs weren't even ever meant for long-term use. And so those drugs tend to now are causing joint issues with people, knee issues and ligament issues, because of how toxic that drug is and the fact that it's robbed your body and turned your body off from the ability to make stomach acid to be able to digest your foods. So now you have like a cesspool of just filth. It's just like stagnant filth. And then you eat something, and it goes down the hatch. If you eat something, God forbid, you eat something with acid in it, and it starts to react with that cesspool, it'll start to bubble back up. But if you had enough acid to break it down, then it would go through your system. Bleach, you look at bleach, hydrochloric acid, different types of acid, muriatic acid. They are made to eat things up. Our stomachs are no different. You ever heard of a Komodo dragon? Komodo dragon is like a big lizard, one of the biggest lizards. Probably the biggest lizard in the world. And a Komodo dragon will bite its prey and just let it run off. It'll bite a deer, and that deer will get 200-300 yards away and just die, because that Komodo dragon saliva is so acidic that it just starts to eat away at it the minute it bites it. And then the Komodo dragon can follow the smell of it and find it and finish eating it. But their food is about dissolved before it hits their stomachs. That's how acidic their saliva is. And nobody's ever told them that they got too much stomach acid. Well, human beings are the same way. Our stomach acid is not as strong as theirs by any means, but when we eat food, it needs to be broken down completely. And the worse we eat, or drinking sodas, or even alkaline drinks with meals, are bad. because then that what that does is that basically neutralizes your stomach acid. So you go to eat food and you drink your soda behind it, or you drink your alkaline drink, and now your stomach acid, where it should be a pH of 1, has now started to rise, and now you're not getting that breakdown of food like you should. And so that's why about an hour before or an hour after meals, you should keep away any types of drinks or any types of things that would neutralize your stomach acid. Ginger ale. People take mints when their stomach hurts. Oh, give me a mint. Well, I need to belch. Those things are because you don't have the stomach acid to break down food naturally. So if you're having digestive issues, I beg you, instead of taking the over-the-counter medication or the prescription medication, if you're on it already, take it because you have to, because I'm not a doctor and I can't tell you to not take anything. But what I want you to do and I implore you to do is get some enzymes, get some digestive enzymes, and start to create new cultures within your stomach where you can break that food down, and then you can slowly wean yourself off of those prescriptions if, in fact, your issue gets better, which in so many cases we've seen it does. And one of the things that we do within the detox is we put you on digestive enzymes. There's a gentleman in Maryland has been dealing with, 13, 14 years he's been on digestive, has digestive issues and has been on all different types of medication for acid reflux, and had a little bit of a gut and everything. And he said, I've tried everything. And I said, look, man, just try the detox. It's 30-day detox. One of them days you're in the bathroom, the other 29, you're just learning how to eat well, and you're giving your body what it needs. You're giving your body fuel. And he was like, all right, I'm going to try it. And now 30 pounds later, he lost 25, 30 pounds in a month, and he's off his medication. Because why? Those digestive enzymes kicked in. And then what he was putting in his body, good lean meats, fruits and vegetables, staying away from the bad foods, he lost the weight. Another one of his partners lost 35 pounds and who's dealing with diabetes. And he got his detox done, lost a lot of weight, and now he's on his blood sugar pack working on his type 2 diabetes, just giving the body what it needs. The body wants to, I'm telling you, the body wants to heal itself. We just have to find the fuel that it needs. And that's one of the great things that Dr. Wallach, the founder of our company, Longevity, is great about, because all his research, he's a veterinarian, he's a pathologist, and he's also a naturopathic physician. When you go to your doctor, you don't get all three. You might get a primary care physician. But when you talk to Dr. Wallach, you're not talking to just a primary care physician. You're talking to a naturopathic physician, you're talking to a pathologist, and you're also talking to a veterinarian who's got research in the Smithsonian Institute, who sued the FDA 9 times successfully. So he has more credentials than any doctor you're going to talk to, for free anyway, and you can talk to him for free. But his research has shown, which it wouldn't be in the Smithsonian Institute as a national treasure if it wasn't, when you give the body what it needs, it'll take care of itself. You think about the animal industry, him being a veterinarian. Have you ever heard of a horse or a cow or a sheep getting knee replacement or getting hip replacement? Or ducks getting a wing replacement? There's no such thing. Why? Because they get perfect nutrition. Animals in zoos and animals that are properly cared for, they get perfect nutrition. They get 100% of the nutrition that they need, and then everything else is value added. When you see a cow or a horse out there just grazing in the grass, that's just value added. They've already got their nutrition. They get these little pellets called alfalfa pellets, and it has all the nutrition that they need. And then after that, they go out and they graze and they eat and they just, there's no nutrition in what they're doing most of the time, except for those pellets that they get. So you look at their teeth, horses' teeth, cows' teeth. They don't have missing teeth. They don't need braces. They don't even floss and brush their teeth. But yet the dentist tells us to floss and brush our teeth to prevent cavities. But these animals don't have cavities. Why? They have perfect nutrition. Because cavities come from when your jawbone, your mandible, is calcium deficient, and it starts to pull calcium from your teeth, which makes your teeth weak and brittle, which makes them more porous, which allows the bad foods and the sugars that we eat sit down in the teeth and start to decay them out. That's what cavities come from. So flossing and brushing is great, but put in there what needs to go in your mouth first. Get the nutrition that the body needs. And when you look at high blood pressure, it's a calcium deficiency. Calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, you think about your heart. And you think about those valves that have to open and close. The heart is a muscle that works all the time. If anybody's heart don't work all the time, you let me know. And I'm going to be shocked that you can even respond because you shouldn't be living. But that muscle beats 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It don't miss one. And sometimes it might feel like it does, but you're all right. And that muscle needs so much calcium. Our bodies are 70% or 80% fluid and 20% solid. And if you take that 20% solid, 80% of that 20% solid needs calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, glucosamine, chondroitin, strontium. I try not to just say calcium by itself because people go run out and take calcium and realize it doesn't do anything for them just taking calcium. Calcium is so hard to uptake and absorb into the body. So that's why you need the magnesium and you need the vitamin D, and they all work hand in hand. It's like a cake. You don't make a cake with two ingredients. You get all the ingredients together, you put them together, and you make a cake. It's the same thing with our bodies. Our bodies are systems. So there are systems, there are processes, there are protocols that our body needs to be able to function at high level or at optimal level. And so that's one of the things that's genius about what Dr. Wallach has done is he's already figured out if you have joint issues, you need a bone and joint pack. And I put everything in that bone and joint pack so you don't have to guess. You just get that bone and joint pack and you take it based on body weight after you've detoxed, and you'll watch how you're refueling your body. You'll watch how your cartilage and ligaments and tendons and connective tissue start to regenerate like it did in my knee. You start to realize, man, my joints don't ache, my back don't hurt. You got digestive orders. He's created a healthy digestion pack. You detox. You see what you look like after your detox. You get on your digestion pack. Healthy digestion pack has everything it needs. You don't have to guess. And guess what? You take it based on body weight. You take it based on body weight, you're going to get the proper nutrition for your body weight. The same thing with heart and brain issues. There's a pack for that. The same thing as if, like we talked about before, if you're dealing with cholesterol and those different types of issues. Those are issues of improper ratios of omega-3, 6s, and 9s, which are your fish oils and your borage oils and your flaxseed oils. Most people talk about omegas, but you just hear them say omega-3, but you need 6s and 9s. And not only that, but you need them in a proper ratio. You need to take them based on body weight. When you take them based on body weight, you're assured that you're going to get the right amount of nutrition for you. It's funny, like when you go by, and I used to look at this and just couldn't really figure it out, but I just said, well, I didn't get that kind of education. But you go and you buy something from the grocery store, especially like an over-the-counter prescription, and it says from 12 years old to an adult, take two. Well, there are some 12-year-olds that are 200 pounds, and there are some 90-year-olds that are 100 pounds. Somebody's getting too much, somebody's not getting enough. But when you do things based on body weight, then you're sure that you're going to get the right amount of nutrition for your body weight. And there's also been studies done on high blood pressure and hypertension where they said that hypertension disproportionately affects the black community. So they did a study. And what they did was they took some people in Chicago, some men in Chicago, and they figured out what part, they did DNA test on them, and they figured out what part of the world African descent that they came from. And then they went to those particular places in Africa and took those people's blood pressure and realized that their blood pressure was normal. 90%, 97% of them had normal blood pressure. So that point lets you know it can't be hereditary, because if it's hereditary, it'll go all the way back to the beginning of time. And these were distant relatives and distant people. And then they came back and they said, okay, look at your diet, look at the things that you're doing, look at the things you're not doing. And they realized, pinned down, why you have high blood pressure or hypertension, but it's not hereditary. And come to find out that if you take most of the European countries, which is your Caucasian, they have a higher incidence of high blood pressure or hypertension than African Americans or Africans and Americans together. But they tell us it disproportionately affects us, and they tell us it's hereditary, and we just take it, hook, line, and sinker, as opposed to doing things that we need to do to change our diet, change our habits, and really trying to get educated. And it's hard to get educated on stuff that you don't know even exists. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And that's what this platform is for, is to talk about some of the things that I didn't know growing up, just a kid in the hood trying to make it. And my parents didn't know, so that we can do something different for our children. Because there's been studies that have shown that this is going to be the first generation where if we don't do something different, we're going to be burying our children. And that's not something we want to happen. But if you look at the amount of kids today that are sick, you got 8-year-olds on cholesterol medication. You got babies born with 2 and 3 years old with cancer. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to see some of the stuff that we see day in and day out. But we can change that. And when you look at cancer, cancer is a bunch of diseases affecting you at one time, is what really cancer turns out to be. A bunch of different issues in the body affecting you at one time. But for the most part, the body's in an acidic, it's in an acidic state based on what we put in it, based on a lack of nutrition, based on a low level of antioxidants. Antioxidants are things that fight things like cancer. The cells are healthier when they have more antioxidants. The cells are healthier when they have more nutrients in them. And so and your immune system is healthier when you're giving it the proper things to focus on the immune system, such as your vitamin C's and different types of selenium and those particular things that help you build your immune system. And so those, you have to be conscious of that. You know, we hear this thing about forget cancer or F cancer. Let's just take the time to understand what it is. And once we understand what it is, and then we know we got the keys to the car, the medical system says there's no cure for cancer. That don't mean there's no cure for cancer. It don't have to be a cure for cancer. When you just give your body what it needs, it will function as it's supposed to. But we have kids and children being born with no nutrition. Their parents didn't take good nutrition when they were pregnant with them. They're born, and if they're nursing and there's no nutrition in mother's milk, the child is not getting it. And then once they get weaned off of the milk, now they're eating French toast sticks and French fries and waffles and Eggo syrup and all of these things that Sunny Delight, none of these things have nutrition. So children go 6, 7, 8 years with no nutrition. They go 2 years with no nutrition. If they're not getting the proper PHAs and DHAs and the essential fatty acids that they need for brain development, that's where you get autism starts to kick in. They just have not had any nutrition. Our children are starved for nutrition because the food that we had and the food that our parents had, at least back in the day, Matt, remember back in the day that there was no such thing as organic and non-organic. Food was only grown one way. Now there's a denomination. So you basically telling me I'm going to go to the store and I can get bad fruit and I can get good fruit. And it's not good in the sense of nutrition. It's good in the sense that one has got pesticides all over it and one doesn't. And they're grown in opposite fields. I mean, it just don't make sense. And we can't afford the organic, so we get the regular stuff. And you get apples that feel like they got so much wax on them, you can make a candle out of it. So, you know, a lot of it is lack of knowledge. We perish for a lack of knowledge. But we also even feel like that the people that's around us, meaning the system that we rely on so heavily, should be able to help us. And then we sometimes, even when we do know, we say, man, it's expensive to eat healthy. try going to chemo 3-4 days a week and see how expensive that is. Granted, you don't have to pay for it out of pocket, money-wise, but your body has to pay for it. You have to pay for it with your time. Think about diabetics, the ones that's got to shoot themselves up with needles. They buy all the insulin they want under insurance, but it's expensive to have to deal with wearing the special boots and eating the special chocolates and eating the special food and all of these different things. It becomes expensive. And that's the problem with insurance, because insurance basically says that you're going to get so sick that you can't afford to take care of yourself. So you need to pay a premium, and they will pay for the big stuff. Your house, I understand. That's the biggest investment some of us make. You got a $100,000 house, a $500,000 house, a $2 million house. Most people don't keep that money laying around. So if something happens, that little $300 a month we pay for insurance or whatever the case may be, we're going to need all that back and more when it's time to repair that. Or even our car, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 car, $100,000 car. You need that kind of insurance. But your health? Man, $6 a day. People ask me, you know, what about the detox? How much does that cost? I see a lot of people having good results, but what do you got to do? How much is it? Man, the detox is $6 a day, $200 a month. You pay it for one time, $200, $225 for your detox. Oh, man. Oh, man, what? That's $657 a day. You do that at Chick-fil-A. You do that at Starbucks. You do that at the gas station getting snacks. You just pick, you got to pick what's good for you. Some will, some won't, but it's only up to me and up to us to bring the information. But if your body ain't worth $6 or $7 a day, you're going to have to take a hard look at yourself. And we wonder why we have the issues we have. It's because we have insurance. And if, I guarantee you, if they took away insurance tomorrow, I mean, they are. People are already in an uproar about insurance right now. And some is warranted and some isn't. But if we really just paid attention to our health, we realize how less we need the system. Because doctors would be extremely humble if we only went to them once a year for a physical. They would be extremely humble. So instead of worrying about who's going to pay for stuff and how's it going to get paid for, let's focus on what we do for our own selves. And we should be giving ourselves the best. We want the best car, we want the best bag, we want the best purse, we want the best shoes. All the outside game stuff, we want the best. The best house, that's all outside game. The inside game is your health. But we seem to skimp on that. We seem to cut corners on that. And that's real. And so, you know, we have to really figure out what it is we want to do and not let this system continue to control us and tell us that things are hereditary or things going to just pass down the line, or we don't have to worry about trying to fix this problem because you're going to get it anyway. I mean, they did that whole thing with cancer. Oh, your mother had breast cancer and your grandmother had breast cancer. Let's go ahead and take both of your breasts off now to prevent it. And then you get stars and actresses and people doing that, and then people follow right behind them. Oh, we did some tests and you have some markers for cancer. Everybody's got markers for cancer. We all have cells that have been damaged. But guess what? You have billions and trillions of cells in your body, and your body regenerates new cells. And when your body regenerates new cells, it's up to you whether or not those cells will be healthy or not. And so that's why we talk about getting the 90 essential nutrients and taking nutrition based on body weight and detoxing your liver. Keep your body at ground zero, as close as you can to ground zero. You realize that you can keep the weight off. You realize that some of your health issues will go away. And even for athletes, you know, nobody's exempt from health. We see athletes, they run around, they drink the Gatorade, and they work out. And then the next thing you see them, they're hurt. They injured. Non-contact injuries, meaning they jump up in the air or they step a certain way and their whole leg give out. They shatter their whole leg. That's nutritional deficiencies. And they got nutritionists who only talk to them about what foods to eat. But yet, if you ever played football, if you ever been in a football training room or training table where they have all the food lined up, you will see it's far from health food. There's some there, but you have your choice of anything you want. And then you go out and you play and you perform, you get broken down, you get beat down. They're talking about this whole concussion thing. I mean, it's a lot that's going on in sports, and I'm not going to go off on that because that'll be another topic for another day. But I'm just saying that nobody's exempt from taking care of themselves. Nobody's exempt from giving their body what it needs to stay healthy. And the biggest problem and the biggest gap in that is because we've not been properly educated on what that is. And even just like we talk about cholesterol, like we talk about high blood pressure. And I want to, you know, if people know this already, I want you to chime in and say, look, this is stuff I heard. This is stuff that I knew. Because that helps me understand, but I know I didn't know it. And a lot of people I talk to day to day don't know it. But once you tell them, they're like, man, that makes so much sense. See, healing is easy when you know what you need to give the body to heal itself. Because prescriptions don't do that. They suppress your immune system. They suppress your symptoms so long until you have to have surgery. Medical system does two things. They give you drugs and they give you surgery. Now, if you hurt on the battlefield, you get shot, you happen to fall out of a window, you go to the hospital because they're going to help you. 85% of troops that used to die on the battlefield are saved now. They may have prosthetic limbs and different things, but they're saved. That the medical system and the advances in technology that they have for that stuff is remarkable what they can do. You get some wild bug from another country and you is eating away at your insides. No, you go to the hospital. They have their place. Don't get me wrong. Because I don't want you to ever think I'm bashing the hospitals or doctors. But they have their place. And your body has its place when you got a little bit of time and you just dealing with some diabetes or some high blood pressure. Then you need to figure out what it is that my body is missing that I need to give it so that it can heal itself. Because the body wants to heal itself. That's why the FDA don't let anybody use the word cure. I mean, if you say cure, it's got to be some, it's going to be lights going off, it's going to be bells and whistles, it's going to be a big celebration, it's going to be a big party. Because that's a hard word. And they circle everything around that word, so we think, man, cure, that's tough. It's hard to do. But if we ever just said, hey, what is it that our body needs for it to heal itself, then now we can have a conversation. And that's the way we look at it. That's the way we function. And there's not too many places you can go to get a consultation on your health from the breakdown from the beginning to the end to be able to somebody be able to tell you you're gluten intolerant, somebody be able to tell you you have a toxic liver. Let's go ahead and detox your liver. Let's go ahead and make sure that you're keeping out the gluten. Let's go ahead and introduce these foods. Let's go ahead and introduce this nutrition. And the body just starts to take care of itself. Runs like a well-oiled machine. So I hope that was informative. I hope you got something from it. You know, I enjoy getting ready for this week. Every Tuesday, the topics, the research that I get to do, the learning that I get to do, and these things will, you know, be archived, and my son will be able to hear them from years and years from now, and he'll be able to pass them along to his children and whatever the case may be, and you'll be able to pass it along to your family and friends, and we just one by one make it a little better place that we have here on this earth until we're not here. So, you know, again, I hope it was informative. I hope you learned something. That's my goal, is to educate, to create dialogue, to have conversations that we don't ordinarily have. And to really realize that, you know what, we have keys. We have the keys to our own health, and we can do this thing on our own, a group of us that know what we're doing. And there's so many great nutritional products out there. There's so many great companies out there. There's a lot of stuff going on. And I know you get inundated with a lot of things, and people throw a lot of things at you. Here, drink this, try this, do that. And they just mean good. They're really trying to help you. Because they have a testimony that may have been able to help you. But we, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if we don't make that decision in our mind to do something different. So if you have a question, you can write it in the comments, or if you're on the radio side, you press 1, and I will bring you in, and you can ask your question, and, you know, we'll get it answered. But I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, being on this week, as I do every week. If you hit a replay and you have a question, inbox me, text me. You need to call me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. Feel free to give me a call. Talk. I mean, let's really figure out what's going on so we can help you get where you need to be. Because there's no worse than having a passion for life and things that you want to do in a way that you want to live, and your health gets in the way. Because now you've just done the world a disservice. Something that you was called to bring to the world, you can't bring. And so now the world is missing something because you didn't bring what you were supposed to bring, because we all have that purpose. We all have that calling. So don't miss your opportunity to do something bigger than yourself in the world. We will be back here. Questions over here. And 7 p.m., I'll show back up. Next week, we're going to talk about energy. That's one big thing that if anybody could have more of except for children, or parents with children watching their children run around, they're like, where you get all that energy from? So we're going to talk about energy and good energy and bad energy and why some people seem to have it and some people don't. And so that's going to be a pretty interesting topic. I got a good week full of work to do. And I try not to have anything in front of me when I'm doing these, when I'm on my call or doing this live, because I feel like it distracts from you getting from me what I need to give. So holding up a book and different things is kind of tough to do. So I like to be prepared. I like to know that what I'm bringing you is raw. And you can go check it out yourself. And a lot of things I say, please go check it out. Go get further informed. If I said something out of turn, check me on it. We all learn. Let's learn from each other. So, again, I'll be back here next week at 7 p.m. I look forward to it. I thank everybody who joined in, who chimed in, who just had a comment, who just stopped in for a second and said, oh, he's talking about that health stuff again. I'm going to keep it moving. Whatever. All attention is good attention, especially when you're helping the world. But I appreciate it. I appreciate the people on the call. We have a packed call on the radio side. So I'm just super excited. And, you know, before I go, as I always do, you know, my son, one of the biggest reasons I do what I do, you know, his mother is amazing, and how she just, I'm sitting here being able to do this call and not have to worry about him running back and forth. And, you know, so I like to give her credit for how she is for Jamie and just keeping him grounded and helping him with his homework and doing all the things that she does for him, which allows me to do what I can do for you guys. And then I can pour more back into him. So got to give her kudos for that. And my whole team, you know, we have an entire team of people in my organization in Youngevity, and we all sometimes are either on the same team in the same organizations or we're not, but we all pull together. We do these detox groups together, and we all just feed each other, man. It's just a big community of people who just really care about their health. You know, the magazine is big. And then bringing me topics. My best friend gave me the topic for next week. Like, you know, you got to talk about this. So, you know, feel free to be part of that community. We're just a community of people that just want to do something different in the world and have conversations that we don't always have. So, with that again being said, we'll talk to you next week, next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you check in. Make sure you bring your friends and your family. If you heard something today that resonated with you and you want to call me. Or, man, I wish somebody would have been online to hear this. Send them the video. The call, the radio call is recorded. You can send them the recording of the radio call. You can send them to Facebook Live to my page, Donald Snowden, and they can look at that. My page is public. So you can see that. And invite them back next week. I mean, we got to bring people with us. This knowledge and this information is not good just kept in a container. We got to bring people with us. So I appreciate you all. Look forward to next week. We signing off. I love you guys. Again, my tributes to John Bryan, my mentor, my friend, who was with me for so many years on this journey. He gave me the springboard to go along, and I appreciate him for that. My mom, who is really the biggest reason for this, dying of cancer at the age of 57. And the last thing she told me is never let this happen to anybody else. And I didn't know what that meant until 8 months after she passed away and I got my answer. And from that point on, I just went a space of research and trying to understand and trying to learn. And then I meet Longevity, I meet Dr. Wallach, and I meet the research team and just really get to pick their brain and learn and do. And now I say, you know what, I have to restore my community. I have to give back to my community. And whatever platform allows me to do that, I'll do it. Whether I go speak at a church with 3 people, over 300 people, over 3,000 people, over 300,000 people, it doesn't matter. The information is the same. And if out of that one I can save one, then we've done great. And all of you are tuned in. And if I save one of you, I've done great. And if you can push that information along to somebody else and save one, you've done great. And now we create a dynasty. We create a synergy of people who just want to help. I love you guys. See you next week.